May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 720. Endless blessings on the Lamb, broken hearts repeat the same. His dear heart was broken too, when he bore the curse for you. Hymn 720.
Thank you. Our reading from the Word of God this evening is taken from the 13th chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. It's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with means, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Most gracious Lord, we bow this evening hour at thy feet. And we pray that that grace that we've just read, that the apostle desired for the Hebrew church, may also be with us all here this evening. Give us now, Lord, that grace to worship. Solemnize our hearts under a sense of thy holiness and thy divine glory. Give us, Lord, an appreciation for who thou art. And help us, Lord, to draw near reverently, respectfully, and yet boldly, believing that thou art well able to exceed all we can ever desire or think. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. And we thank thee, Lord, that none can ever ask too much of thee. Give us, Lord, that faith to ask large things of thee. We ask, Lord, that thy sacred presence may be known here this evening. We ask that thy voice may be heard, that thy smile and blessing may be seen and bestowed, that thy Holy Spirit might work in souls, the work of faith, of hope, of love, of everlasting life. We ask, Lord, that hardened hearts may be softened, that faithless hearts may be given that faith, that those who are far off from thee may be drawn near the Lord, that those who are near unto thee may be kept nearly. There may be those this evening who hear thy voice for the first time, and there may be those that may hear thy voice again. Lord, could it please thee to speak unto us the words of everlasting life, the words of everlasting love, the words of everlasting peace. And may we prove this evening that thou art indeed the God of peace. We ask then a blessing on thy word we've read. Lord, may we not forget what we have read, but may we walk in its precepts and commands. May we take encouragement from its promises. We pray thy blessing to rest upon this church and people. And we ask thee, gracious God, to supply each and every one of their individual needs as members of this church and congregation, and supply their needs as a church. Take care of them, Lord. Watch over them, protect them, guide them. Guide them, we pray, into perfect peace. Guide them to Calvary's cross. Guide them at last to heaven. We pray that thou wilt bless the preaching of thy word here. Help each of thy servants and fill them with the glorious gospel of God. Grant thy help on the coming day, God willing. May it be an occasion when Christ is exalted high and saints are encouraged and sinners called by grace. We pray, Lord, for each of thy servants whom thou dost send into this pulpit, and also for the reading services, that thy blessing may rest upon them, and that thy people may be fed and watered here under this vine. Let manna to their souls be given, the bread of life sent down from heaven. We pray, Lord, for any who are in difficulty and distress and sorrow. Any, Lord, who this evening need thee to appear for them this coming week in a particular and special way. Any who face the future of trembling. Lord, this evening come over their tremblings. Say unto them, peace be still. And I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Grant divine direction to those who are seeking the way to go. Grant divine direction, Lord, to those who are not seeking it. May they be made to seek it this evening. And if there are any, Lord, this evening who have got that direction, and who are determined, like Jonah, to go in the opposite direction, Lord, could it please thee to soften their hearts and give them such a view of a precious Christ that they submit to thy will for Jesus' sake? Remember those who are unable to be here this evening. May they know thy blessing in their homes. Follow with thy blessing the Sabbath school this afternoon. And may the seed sown there in thy time bring forth an abundant harvest. We pray, Lord, for thy help this evening. Grant that help to speak of Christ, that help to exalt Christ, that help to direct sinners to Christ, and grant, Lord, that help to hear, and grant, Lord, that understanding, and grant, Lord, that our hearing and our preaching may be mixed with faith, living faith from and in a living Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst remember those of us whom at thy gracious command and invitation at the close of this evening's service will seek to remember thy suffering and dying love. We pray, Lord, for our friend and sister, she sits at the first time at that table. And we ask thee, Lord, in a special way this evening to draw near unto her. And may she feel like a child at home around that table. May she feel thee smiling upon her. And may each member feel thee smiling upon them. May it be an occasion which the Lord himself will bless. Lord, sit with us at that table. And Lord, could it please thee to constrain others to come and tell what thou hast done for them? We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done. And praise thy holy name. But Lord, we believe that yet there is room. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst come over the hindrances of those who have been silent and yet they could speak. And fill their hearts with thy love. And constrain them to speak of a precious Saviour they found. Lord, we ask now that thou wouldst pardon and forgive our every sin. We are great sinners in thy sight. We are 500 and more pence debtors. We are nothing else but sin. We pray, Lord, that we may be led to that fountain this evening. And that we might know and experience free grace and dying love. Are thy sins beyond recounting? Like the sand the ocean laves, Jesus is of life the fountain. He unto the utmost saves. Lord, may there be many here this evening who now bow under conviction of sin. Who find that Saviour. Who prove that he has found them. And may they prove that though their sins are indeed beyond recounting, yet the precious blood of Jesus can wipe them all away forever. We ask these blessings and favors in the precious, all-prevailing and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. Hymn 119.
seeking the Lord's help this evening, I ask your attention to the Gospel recorded by John, chapter 10, and three words you will find in the third verse. His own sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. His own sheep. It is the greatest favour that you and I can ever know, to be called his own sheep. These are they who are redeemed by precious blood. These are they for whom the great shepherd of the sheep laid down his life at Calvary. These are they that come into great tribulation, come through great tribulation, and come out of great tribulation, and having washed their robes in the precious blood of the Lamb of God, are brought safely to the throne of God in heaven. His own sheep. Christ Jesus, owns his sheep, and he delights to own them. He never disowns them. He never says, I never knew you. No matter what they do, they've been his own sheep from all eternity, and they will be his own sheep to all eternity. These sheep, each and every one of them, are given to the Father, given by the Father, into the hands of his Son, Jesus Christ. I understand that even today in shepherding circles, there is what is known as the shepherd's lamb. And that is a lamb which will have been given by the shepherd to his son to look after. He's given that sheep to his son as a mark of his love and showing that he trusts that one to bring up that lamb to full health and strength, to that point where it can be sold on. And it is often said that when they go to that market, there's no stronger sheep, there's no more healthier sheep than the shepherd's lamb, because it's received that attention. Whenever the carer of that sheep looks upon that lamb, he thinks of his father and the gift Now, without exception, every single one of this flock could be called shepherd's lambs. Every single one as individuals were given to the Son by the Father. Given because the Father not only loved the sheep, but he loved his Son also. And given to them because he trusted his Son to do all that was necessary to bring these sheep safely home to glory. His own sheep. And so when he said this that day long ago, hear these very words, his own sheep. One of the things that was on his heart, that they were given to him by the Father. If you were given by the Father to Jesus Christ, it's because he loved you. And that is an amazing thought, is it not? Why did the Father give one and pass by another? Sovereign love. And cannot some of you this evening sing that hymn, "Oh, why did Jesus show to me the riches of his grace? Why to my soul did he convey the blessings of his face? Oh, how could he so sweetly smile on such a wretch as I? I who his name did once revile and his dear truth deny, but 'twas because he loved my soul, because he died for me, because that nothing could control his great and firm decree. To be loved with an everlasting love by Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is an amazing wonder. It is undeserved. It is unmerited. Those who were chosen aren't any less sinners than those who are left. They aren't any better or more holy or more righteous. The cause of love is in God himself. It's not in us. And if you this evening hour have the right to say he's called you by name as his own sheep, it is a high privilege. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Then again, some lambs in a flock will be born into that flock. And everyone who are favoured to be his own sheep have been born again by the Holy Ghost. That means that the Holy Ghost at a time appointed by God has come into that heart that was destitute before of his grace, that didn't know God, that did not want to know God. And they begin to hear the call of this shepherd. He calls them by name, they hear, and they know his voice. If you are among his sheep, you'll be brought to know his voice and to recognize that voice as your shepherd. You'll be brought to trust that voice. And there will be no other voice upon earth or in heaven or in hell that can give you peace, that can give you pardon, that can give you that hope for heaven than the voice of God. His own sheep. Have you known what it is to be called? Have you known what it is to experience that new birth? You're not what you want to be. You're not what you should be. But is there any here that can say you're not what you once were? You aren't what you were born there. There has been that difference. There has been that change. His own sheep. What made that change? It is the new birth. It is the Holy Spirit who comes and he brings that divine life into the heart. And until we are given that new birth, we cannot repent of our sin. We cannot flee to Jesus. We cannot pray. We cannot have faith. We can do nothing because we're dead. And that new birth is the beginning. It's the beginning of being led out, as we have here in this verse. He calleth his own sheep by name and he leadeth them out. He leads them out of that deadness in sin. He leads them out of being satisfied just with this world and its pleasures and its pursuits and its sins and its lusts. He leads them out of any hope in themselves. If you've been called to see that you can never save yourself, have you been called to see you need saving at all? This is one of the things these sheep are taught by this voice, the voice of the shepherd. He calleth them by name and he leads them out. He leads them out of sin. He leads them out of atheism. He leads them out of a false religion. He leads them out of just a formal dead head knowledge of the truth. He leads them out to himself. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He knows your name. He knows all about you this evening. The hymn writer says, "Ah, my Lord, thou knowest my name." He knows you have that name of sinner. But do not despair this evening. Consider some who he called his own sheep, and consider their names in Scripture. What about Jacob? What a black sheep he was. Utterly determined to have his own way. Ruthless in trying to get what he wanted. Utterly shameless in taking advantage of the blindness of his father and the weakness of his brother when he stole a birthright. When he was challenged by Isaac, he even drags the name of God in the dirt in a lie by saying that God had brought the venison to him. And for that lie, he suffered the rest of his life. But what does the Lord say to Jacob? Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. And I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. You remember when the time came for Jacob to return, that mysterious stranger who wrestled with him, he said to him, "What is thy name?" He said, "I'm Jacob." There's confession there. There was shame there. There was repentance there. And where did he come to? Where did all the trouble that he'd had bring him to? "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies." He wasn't in the habit of saying he wasn't worthy. But that is what sanctified trouble does. It brings you down. It brings you to that point of confession, "I am not worthy." But Jesus Christ is worthy. And that must be your plea this evening, sinner. You are not worthy. You are not deserving of pardon. You are not worthy of acceptance. You are not worthy of having the favor and privilege of being called his own sheep. But neither was Jacob. Your worthiness centers alone in the precious, worthy name of your great and holy shepherd, even Jesus Christ. When Jacob came down to die, there was not a shadow or a cloud over him. If you read his deathbed, it was one of the most blessed deathbeds in all of Scripture. A sinner saved by grace, his own sheep. What about David? Shepherd himself, greatly used of God, a man and here's one of the evidences of you: if you are a sheep, do you love the Psalms? Do you find in them an echo in your own heart, your own desires, your own confessions, your own struggles? If you are favored to be in the same flock as David was, you'll find the Psalms very precious. And how he was helped by God to defeat Goliath. And he went out that day in faith, determined to defend the honor and glory of God. What precious psalms has he written? Psalm 22, on the sufferings of Christ. Christ the Savior. Psalm 23, Christ the Shepherd. Psalm 24, Christ the King, reigning in glory. But that same David once said, "I will one day fall by the hand of Saul." He went down to Gath and then pretended to be mad to escape from them. That same David numbered the people in pride to see how many men he was the absolute ruler over. That same David committed adultery and then murder. But he was still his own sheep. But he was sorely chastened for it. His own sheep. What about the Apostle Peter? How he confidently and proudly and sincerely believed that he was ready to go to death with the Saviour. And yet see him in that judgment hall, faced with the reality. 3 times he disowns the Lord. 3 times he denies that he'd ever met him. 3 times he says, I know not the man. And adds oaths and curses to try and make himself more believed. And what do we read? And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Jesus did not disown his sheep, did he? He looked upon him, not just at him, upon him. And that look brought Peter to his senses. And he was never the same man after that look. He was changed. He was brought to see that his self-confidence was unreliable. He was brought to see that he was one of the greatest sinners on earth. That great I had to be humbled. And yet he knew the restoration and the pardon of his Saviour. Have not some of you known that look? Have you known and experienced what John Newton wrote? In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. There been some wild careers stopped here this evening. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never till his latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. Have some of you known what it is to be called into that path of coming face to face by faith with your Saviour? And be brought to see that you were the cause of his death. Had you never sinned, it would never have been necessary for him to suffer, bleed and die upon that cross in agonies and blood. Been brought to see something of the heinous nature of your sin. And we see more of the heinous nature of sin at Calvary than we ever do at Sinai. Sure, never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt, and help to nail him there. But how many this evening can come to this second look? Peter knew it. Jacob knew it. David knew it. Saul of Tarsus knew it. Manasseh knew it. And why not you? A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayest live. His own sheep. Now, these are some of the sheep in the fold of Christ that we have in Scripture. And they're there for your encouragement. They're there for you to realize that they too were sinners. Without exception, this fold, this flock, who are favored and blessed to be called his own sheep, without exception, all are wretched sinners. And so the fact that you are a sinner this evening should not make you despair. It should not make you say there's no hope of you being among the sheep. And nor should it make you feel that you have necessarily mistaken the way. What it does mean is that you can come as a sinner. You can come feeling to be the worst sinner that ever existed. And you can plead the name of Jesus. And you can ask God the Father to have mercy upon you for the sake of Jesus. Now ask him to put you among his own sheep. And those who come in the name of Jesus, we are told he will not cast them out. He will not turn them away. He will not reject them. God in Christ still receives coming sinners. And he still owns them as his own sheep, though they are unworthy, though they are vile, though they are wretched, though they are poor, but seek to be no more a wandering sheep. Seek to live to God's glory and honor. Seek to walk worthy. We can never be worthy, but we are called to walk worthy. And yes, it is a high standard. And yes, we cannot attain to it, but that doesn't mean we should be satisfied with being wandering sheep. Ask God to give you that grace to walk worthy, day by day. His own sheep. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They recognize his voice. And they know that voice is a different voice to the voice of strangers. They can discern the difference. What faith and grace does. You'll be brought to know the voice of the shepherd, and you'll be brought to know the voice of the devil too. And remember, the devil is the father of lies. And the devil does not have the right to say who is among the sheep of Christ and who isn't. Don't listen to the devil. The devil won't help you. The devil won't encourage you. Seek to know the voice of God. Ask him to give you that witness that you are among his sheep, his own sheep, of whom he has said, "Thou art mine. Thou saidst, my sheep do hear my voice. Am I a sheep, Lord, of thy choice? Speak then and bid my heart rejoice, so speak to me." The shepherd speaks to his sheep, one by one. And he leads them out and he puts them forth. And you're going to know that what it is to be put forth. You've known what it is to rest in his presence. You've known what it is to experience that peace and that pardon, and that liberty. You've known what it is to rejoice and say with confidence that you are among these who are his own sheep because he's called you by name. But now he's going to lead you out. He's going to put you forth, and it's necessary. And when he puts you forth, you're going to have to follow. But you know, and in Bible lands, the shepherd always went first. And the reason he put his sheep forth was because they couldn't stay sleeping in the fold all day. There was no food or water there, or shade when the midday sun came up. And so because he loved that fold, he would not allow them to stay in that fold. And so they had to go forth. But he would lead them to the pastures. He would lead them to where there were waters that were still for them to drink. He would lead them to a place of shelter and shade when the sun came up. And he knew where he was going. The sheep don't. They follow. And that is what you are going to have to do. You are going to have to follow in the footsteps of your shepherd. And on that journey to the green pastures, it may be that there will be times when he leads you through barren places, through hard places, through lonely places. But he knows where he's going. And it is not for you to question. It's for you to follow prayerfully wherever he may lead you. And wherever he leads, his presence and his footsteps are always there. He never calls one sheep of his to take one step without him first being in front. And therefore that means if there is any danger in front, or any calamity in front, the shepherd will face it first. Your shepherd knows what he's doing. And yes, this evening, you might not have been feeding. But it may be that he's putting you forth. He's putting you forth for a reason. He's putting you forth to appreciate and to value when he feeds your soul. He's putting you forth to exercise you in grace and in love and in mercy and in hope and in faith. He's putting you forth to try your faith, to test your love, to test your obedience. But he will lead you to the green pastures. He will lead you to the still waters. He always does. So this evening, ask him to give you that grace to follow. And ask him to put you in those footsteps of the flock. He put forth his own sheep. Again, they're just as much his own sheep when he puts them forth as when they're in the sheepfold. Or when they're in the pasture, or when they're lying down. They remain his own sheep. His own sheep, redeemed by blood. His own sheep, given by the Father. His own sheep, born again by the Holy Spirit. His own sheep, chosen before time began. His own sheep, called by grace. Called to a life of faith. Called to a life of prayer. Called to a life of obedience, called to a life of love. His own sheep, he calleth them to pass through the ordinances of his house and to put on an open profession. And he goes before them then. And he will go before you. And he will help you. He'll help you to tell of the love that you've experienced, of the preciousness of your Saviour. And then he'll help you in every step of your profession. He'll keep you from falling. He'll keep you at his feet. He'll keep you in the footsteps of the flock. He'll chasten you when you go astray. But he will not disown you. He won't turn his back upon you. He loves you too much. He cares for you too much. And that's how you will endure, leaning upon him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yes, he leads out even in that way. And if this evening he's leading you in that way, then by grace you seek to follow him. And in following him, you will prove his blessing, his mercy, his peace. If you do not follow him, you'll know his chastening hand. And that isn't just true in the ordinances of his house. It's in any path he puts you in. If you disobey him, you'll know what it is to be chastened. So, in whatever path he might be leading you this evening, ask him to give you that grace to follow closely, obediently, immediately, dependently, leaning upon him, trusting to him, looking to him for help, for hope, for salvation, for mercy, for that grace to endure. For that grace to strive against sin. For that grace to turn your back upon the world. His own sheep. He'll lead you to that precious fountain of his blood. There to prove the merits and the worth and the preciousness and the power of that blood. That blood that was shed for this flock of sheep and lambs alone, every one of them. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, still cleanses from all sin this evening. no matter how black or vile or strong or polluted that sin may be, the blood of Jesus Christ is stronger. The blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful. He has that gracious ability to wash you from all your sin and to make you as if those sins never existed. One day he'll lead you home to heaven. This is a blessedness. This is what he had in mind when he first called you by grace. He goes in front and he leads you every step of the journey. And he doesn't leave you until you're safe home in heaven. That's where the footsteps of the flock end, in heaven. And in heaven there will be no more putting forth. There will be no more lions to be on the watch for. There will be no more heat from the noonday sun for which you must shelter from. There will be no more devil to annoy and distract and disturb. There will be no more sins from your old nature that get you down. Jesus is leading you out. Jesus is leading you on, and he's leading you home to heaven, to that place of perfect and eternal rest and happiness and peace. What a prospect. May you and I be found among those who are favored to be called his own sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
The collections last Lord's Day were £685, for which we're very thankful. God willing, after this service, Mr. Buss will receive dear Sarah into church membership and administer the Lord's Supper. Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach tomorrow at our anniversary services at 3 o'clock and 6:15, and a collection will be taken for our Needy Cases Fund. Mr. Stephen Hyde is engaged to preach for us next Lord's Day and hopes to address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Our friends at Fenstanton have an Ascension Day service on Thursday evening at 7:15, and the Free Grace Evangelistic Association will meet at the school at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon, God willing. Let us close with hymn 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. Hymn number 23.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name thus far this day. Do now grant unto us thy help as we seek to remember thy dying love. Lord, remember us as we would seek to remember thee. And Lord, remember also any who may observe from afar. May the grace of Christ our Saviour and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favour, rest upon us from above. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.